things in my announcements this morning. I neglected to mention Lunch Bunch Group 1 would be meeting today. And I want to encourage anybody that's visiting with us, we want you to stay and have lunch with us. There's plenty of food down there in the fellowship hall, so please stay and enjoy that time with us. Also, tonight after services, there'll be a farewell going away party for Philip and Abby, and you're encouraged to participate in that as well. Of course, this is December the 2nd. We've got 1 month until we begin a brand new year. Usually, at New Year's, people have resolutions. They resolve certain things in the physical world. It could be a number of things. But spiritually, many times people make resolutions. I want to be a more diligent Bible student. Or I want to try to reach more people for Christ. Or I want to do more in trying to build up the Lord's church. I want us to get our minds set a month in advance about being successful in the Lord's work, not only as individuals, but also collectively as a congregation. And I want us to look at Jesus Christ today, and I want to look at how we can be successful and how we can learn to be successful in the Lord's work from Jesus. You know, I think all of us today want to be successful, don't we? You know, success is something that is constantly placed before us. We want to be successful on our job. We want to be successful in our families, among our friends, with our relationships. None of us ever want to be considered as a failure. You know, we talk about to the kids at Kids Sing, you know, what's true success in life and what is true failure in life? Well, true success in life is living your life and going to heaven when this life is over. And I believe there's a lot of truth in that. But when it comes to doing the Lord's work, I want to suggest to you that we need to emphasize much more than we have in the past about being successful. You know, if you're talking to somebody about their soul, or if you're engaged in conversation with somebody about the Lord's church, I think we need to be concerned about doing that in the most effective way we possibly can. If we are talking to a member of the Lord's church, perhaps one that's been overcome with sin, or one that has become unfaithful and needs to come back to their first love, I think we need to endeavor to do that in the most effective way we possibly can. And I certainly don't know all the answers as to how that's to be done, but I do know the Bible says about Jesus Christ in Mark 12 and verse 37 that the common people heard him gladly. And that's why today our thoughts are going to be geared toward the masses and how it is that we can successfully and effectively reach out to people all around us. I think if we can determine what it was that made our Lord so successful, if we can determine that we're going to follow him as he was effective, then I think that's going to make us much more effective in what we do in the Lord's service. This morning, I just want to suggest a few things that really helped our Lord to be effective and so successful in his mission on this earth, which was ultimately to seek and save the lost. May I suggest, first of all, today, that though Jesus Christ were King of Kings and Lord of Lords, though he was the very Son of God, Jesus Christ still treated all people with respect. I am convinced that Jesus treated every individual with respect. Our Lord understood, according to Genesis 1 and verse 27, that every individual has been made in the image of God. In fact, the Bible says about Jesus in 1 Peter 2 and verse 23, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him who judgeth righteously. I think Jesus Christ treated all people with respect, irregardless of how they may have treated him. And I think this is a great secret that we need to learn today. We need to be the kind of people that always endeavor to treat others around us with respect and honor. Our Lord was not an individual that went around showing partiality. In fact, James talked about this very thing in James chapter 2 and verse 1. James emphasized how that we cannot have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ while at the same time showing partiality. And then he gives an example. He says, if they're coming to your assembly, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, you know, he's well-dressed, he's affluent, and man, you really cater to him. You roll out the red carpet for him. You treat him as royalty. And yet they're also coming to your assembly, a poor man. And it's obvious that he's got a lot of problems. He's poorly dressed. He just doesn't seem to fit into the mold that we're accustomed to. And we show partiality to the affluent individual, and we kind of show disdain toward the other individual. James says, are you not become partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts? You know, oftentimes if we're not careful, we tend to turn our backs on those that maybe look different or dress different than we do, or maybe they run in different social circles than we do. But you see, our Lord was not like that. Our Lord never showed partiality one toward another. In fact, the Bible tells us in Luke 15 and verse 2 that the Pharisees and the scribes murmured against Jesus, saying, this man receives sinners and he eats with them. You see, our Lord did everything he could to save everyone he possibly could. You know, we read in John chapter 4 about that long conversation that Jesus had with that Samaritan woman. And we need to understand that women were not very esteemed at all in that day and time, and especially Samaritan women. In fact, some Jewish men would pray, God, I thank you that I'm not a Gentile, a slave, or even a woman. So women were very much disdained, generally speaking, in that particular day and time. And yet, this was not only a Samaritan woman, she was an immoral woman. She had been married 5 times. The man that she was living with at the current time wasn't even her husband. Now, let me ask you, how would we feel if somebody visited our assembly and we knew their background? We knew that, you know, they had been married 5 times. And the current person they're now with isn't even their husband legally. How would we treat an individual like that? Would we treat that individual with respect? Will we realize that this person has a soul that is going to live eternally in heaven or in hell? Would we try to reach out and do what we could to save the soul of that individual? You know, Jesus Christ here had enough respect and enough regard for her that he taught her one of the greatest lessons in all the Bible. That being how to worship God in spirit and in truth. In fact, that entire lesson was given to a simple Samaritan woman. And so you see, if we're going to be effective and successful in the Lord's kingdom, we've got to treat all people with respect. We just can't look down our noses at other people. If those in our families, our husbands, our wives, our children, if our friends and our co-workers and associates and, you know, those who are unfaithful, if they know that we respect them for who they are and what they are as a human being, they're going to be a lot more responsive to what we have to say. I guess you could summarize that point by saying we need to treat everybody as somebody. We need to treat everybody as somebody. That's what our Lord did. In the next place, though, I'm convinced that our Lord was so successful and effective because He spoke with such plainness and such simplicity. Anybody could understand what the Lord was saying. You've heard some people say after hearing something, that was just as clear as mud. It's very hard to understand. We just don't really get what the person's trying to say. And I know there are some so-called scholars today that might say that the Lord was far too elementary in His approach. But it wasn't the goal of Jesus Christ to try to impress other people with His eloquent speech. You didn't need a dictionary. You didn't need a book of synonyms to try to understand what Jesus was saying. Anybody could understand our Lord. I'm afraid sometimes today we may have missed that particular point. Sometimes today, maybe a preacher will try to be flashy, or maybe they'll try to be real theological, or maybe they'll try to have a certain air about them. And maybe you've heard somebody that really was dynamic. They could just capture your attention and you listened intently and you go, wow, that was good. But 30 minutes later, it goes through your mind, what in the world did he talk about? We just don't need to be the kind of people that try to impress people with our speech. Maybe you've known people and they begin to pray in public and they begin to sound so pious and holy and sanctimonious. You see, that kind of thing was not a part of the conduct of Jesus Christ. Our Lord was just as plain and simple and down to earth as any man could possibly be. And this idea of maybe trying to have an air or trying to put on a show, this will very quickly turn the common people off. Think about Matthew chapter 13, how that entire chapter expresses so many truths in a way that anybody could understand it. For example, Jesus said, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." Anyone who heard those words knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. He went on to say, "And when he sowed, some fell on the wayside, some fell on stony places, some fell among thorns, some fell among the good ground." Anybody could understand that the Lord was talking about the hearts into which God's Word calls individuals. In Matthew 13, verse 31, he said, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in a field." Jesus said that's the smallest of all seeds, but it grows into a tree. Jesus said the kingdom starts out small, just like that grain of mustard seed, but it grows continually until it becomes great. In Matthew 13, 33, "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened." Here our Lord, in very simple terms, talks about how the kingdom changes people from within. In that same chapter, he talked about the kingdom of heaven being like a net that's cast into the sea, and it brings forth of every kind. Here Jesus is talking about the different kinds of nature, the kinds of people that are going to oppose the kingdom. You see, our Lord was very effective because He made things simple. And I am convinced today when we are out trying to talk to other people, when we're trying to reach people that are lost, people that have become unfaithful, maybe the very least we can say, the better off you are. I think we need to work, we need to labor to make things simple. You don't have to be educated at all to tell somebody else what Jesus has done for you. You don't have to be educated at all. You don't have to be highly trained to let other people know what you've done to become a Christian and what Christianity means to you. You see, Jesus kept things simple. And we need to make things so very simple that even a child can understand it. And I think that needs to be true in every area of life. But in the next place, though, there's no doubt in my mind that our Lord was effective not only because He made things simple, but if you look at our Lord and observe Him in His everyday activities, our Lord was obviously one that genuinely cared about other people. Our Lord was concerned about the well-being of others. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus said, "I have compassion on the multitude." In John chapter 11, Jesus observed and got the news that his friend Lazarus had died. The shortest verse in all the Bible, John 11:35, records those words. Jesus wept. He groaned deep within his spirit. In John chapter 8, we find there the woman who was taken in adultery, the very act. And the people brought this woman to the Lord, saying, "This woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Moses said that she ought to be stoned. Lord, what do you say?" Well, the Lord could see that they really weren't concerned about what Moses said. And He knew that their own lives were not right. And Jesus said, "Let him who is without sin among you cast the first stone." Now, the Lord was not upholding what this woman had done. He was not in any way condoning her sinful activity. But our Lord genuinely cared about the well-being of this woman. Jesus helped those that were sick. He helped those who were in need. And brethren, in every endeavor of life, and especially in the work of the Lord, especially as we try to talk to people about their souls and about their spiritual well-being, one of the things that's going to make us effective almost invariably is if people genuinely know that we care about them. Now, if they feel that we're there with a pious attitude to talk to them, or maybe we're kind of talking down our nose to them like we've got everything right in our lives and you're all messed up, and we just kind of show little concern about the things that they're interested in, then they're just going to shut it down. They're not going to listen to what we have to say. But if somebody can sense that here's a person that genuinely cares about my well-being, and they're concerned about what I'm concerned about, then I believe that person is going to respond in a very effective way. And brethren, we need to learn to care more about other people. We live in a selfish-oriented society. People are concerned about self and, you know, what's in it for me. You know, my concerns and my well-being is number one. But we can be so effective in impacting the lives of people if we'll genuinely care about their well-being. And there's no doubt that's why the Lord accomplished so much. You know, there were His disciples condemning the little children for getting in the Lord's way. And what did the Lord do? He said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven." You see, there was nobody that was too insignificant. There was nobody who was too poor. There was no one who was too much of an outcast. But Jesus Christ genuinely cared about their well-being. And when we in our daily lives, as we work for the Lord, when we can let people know by our conduct that we care about them, then they're going to respond, I believe, in a good and positive way. But I also believe today that our Lord was very effective and successful because He tried to meet the needs of people. Now, I understand that our Lord was far superior to us in that regard, because our Lord knew exactly what the needs of people were, and he could see that and try to meet those needs. But the Lord did everything he could to try to make life meaningful, more enjoyable for people. Our Lord said in John 10 and verse 10, "I come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," John 14 and verse 6. He said, "You follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." The Lord was the kind of person that really wanted to give people the things they truly needed. In John 16, 63, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And brethren, if we'll stop and think about what we can do to meet the needs of people that we talk with on a daily basis, if we could just stop and try to listen and try to pay attention to that and communicate with them in a way that demonstrates that we're concerned about what's important to them, then we're going to be effective. Now, doesn't every family want to get along today? Don't we want to have good relationships with our family members? And yet look in the world today, look at the turmoil that's going on in families today. Doesn't everyone want to be a good father or a good mother? Don't we want to achieve happiness in this life? Most of all, don't we want to have hope when this life is over? You see, as we go about in our everyday conversations, there are people that have these kinds of problems and many others, and we may have the answers that they're looking for. And if we can really try to reach out like the Lord did and meet the needs of people when we see the problems that we face and try to help them and encourage them through those problems, then we're going to be effective. We need to listen to what people are actually saying. You know, when it comes to our interaction with other people on the job or at school or wherever we may be, I just need to realize that I am a nobody telling anybody about somebody who can save everybody. We need to understand people need answers to their problems. The Lord met those needs. He was effective. And I believe doors of opportunity will be opened up for us continually if we genuinely become more oriented toward reaching out to others rather than focused on self. But let me also suggest today that our Lord was also effective because he was willing to speak with conviction. You know, Jesus would say the things that needed to be said, and he would do so without apology. In Matthew 7, verse 28, it came to pass when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Our Lord always spoke with conviction, and when we today can speak with assurance and with confidence to people, we know whereof what we speak, and we're not arrogant about that, then people are going to listen. But suppose somebody that we know, maybe somebody in the church, tells us something that they're kind of questioning, and maybe they ask us, "Do you think this or that is wrong?" How many times do we begin to just stutter and stammer, and we don't have enough conviction and backbone to say in a humble and sincere way, "Yes, that's wrong"? We ain't got to be ugly about it, but brethren, when we talk to people, we've got to talk with some conviction. As we always say, right's always right, wrong is always wrong, and I hope you know the rest. We're not going to convert the world today as long as we're willing to compromise our convictions. You know, one reason why the people were so amazed at Jesus is because he spoke with authority. He didn't get up. He didn't compromise things to make other people feel better. One final thought today, the lesson's yours. I believe Jesus Christ was so very effective, and I think this will make us effective as well. That is, Jesus tried to live that which he taught others. You know, Luke records about Jesus in Acts 1 and verse 1 that Jesus began to both do and to teach. Luke said the Lord Jesus did before he taught. He practiced before he preached. He lived before he tried to tell others how to live. And when people see in us those who are genuinely trying to live what we teach, then that teaching is going to be much more effective. You see, our Lord was always very consistent in what he said. In Matthew 6 and verse 9, Jesus taught men to pray. But did our Lord pray? Yes, he often prayed to his Father. Sometimes he spent all night in prayer to God. In John 11, 35, Jesus taught people to love. He said, you love one another. Well, did our Lord love? Well, the Bible says in Ephesians 5 and verse 25, he loved the church enough that he gave himself for it. In Matthew 18, 2 and 3, the Lord taught people about the importance of humility. But was our Lord himself humble? Did not our Lord manifest great humility when he took that towel and he washed the dirty feet of those disciples? Our Lord taught about the importance of forgiveness. You forgive one another, the Lord said. But did our Lord practice what he preached? We see the Lord there on that old rugged cross in excruciating pain, suffering immensely the just for the unjust, bearing our sins on the cross. He had done nothing wrong. And yet our Lord prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, Jesus Christ never told anybody to do anything that he himself was not willing to do. And brethren, that's what we need today. That's the hard part. Living consistently before one another. We need to try to live what we teach. Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say, Luke 6 and 46. And I'm afraid sometimes we may call on the Lord while at the same time we're failing to do what he says. I'm just convinced today that in our endeavors to be successful in the Lord's work, and first of all, we've got to desire to be successful in the Lord's work. We've got to want to do the Lord's work. We've got to be zealous for the Lord. But I'm convinced that these are just a few things that can help us to be effective in the Lord's service. We need to try to treat all people with respect. We need to speak plainly where people cannot misunderstand us. We need to genuinely care about other people. We need to strive to meet the needs of those round about us. And whenever we speak, we need to speak the truth in love, but we need to speak with conviction. And then we need to strive to live and practice that which we preach and teach. These are some principles that I think will allow us to be more successful than we ever thought we could be in serving the Lord.